This morning about abiding in Jesus, and I'm still going along really in generally preaching off the church vision statements, and the first line of that is about that we want to be a church full of the power and the presence of God that's bringing something of heaven into every household in the community. And it's really talking about revival. And last time I talked about revival and the need for humility to get more of God. And I'm sort of continuing on a similar theme today to do with revival, really. It's a mini-series about how to live in personal and hopefully corporate revival. And the great passage on that is really from John chapter 15, isn't it? And Mike's going to come, is he? Or maybe not. Okay, that text didn't get through. Don't we love church? Okay. I'm going to read a reading from John chapter 15. Maybe we could find it on the media and then everyone else can read it, and hopefully before long I'll find it as well. Okay. Here we go. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So that's a well-known passage. I'm sure we've all read that and thought and prayed and studied it. This translation I read from says, remain in me. I prefer the older translation that says, abide. It's a sort of strong word, that, isn't it? You know, abide in Jesus. And it's simply this, that when you connect to God, when you're, you know, joined, when you're abiding in him, then all that is in God, all that power, all that goodness, all that love flows through you. And Jesus used the parable of the vine. I've got a more modern parable. I've got a fan here. Okay. And I can plug this fan in. And I have a choice of where I can plug it in. I've got a bucket of water where I could plug it in. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be interesting. Okay, who thinks, what would happen? I mean, the fan in itself can do nothing without being plugged in, can't it? And that's like us, that we, I mean, that fan is actually quite clever. There's a lot of engineering and electronics in that. And you're wonderfully and fearfully made. You can do amazing things when you're plugged in the right way. But without God, in terms of kingdom worth, you can do nothing. Without him, you can do nothing. And so I have a choice. Shall I plug it in to the bucket of water? Shall I plug it into the electricity? And, you know, we have that choice every day, not just once or twice, but in every decision that we face. Do we live out of our own ability, out of ourself, out of what the Bible calls the flesh, or do we abide in God? I think it'd be fun to plug it into the water. In fact, I think it'd be fun to throw the water at people. Fortunately, the water's not there. But if we plug it in here and turn it on, there we are. It works. Okay, so when we plug into Jesus, this is what we have, the fruit of the Spirit, because that's what is in Jesus. Just like when I plug the fan into here, what's in that plug comes into the fan. It's not rocket science, is it? You know, that is on. There's electricity in there. You plug in. Everything in there goes through the connection. Everything that is in God comes into you when you abide in him. So love, joy, peace, patience, all of that. Wisdom, faith, grace, forgiving, love, hope, generosity, diligence, miracles, healing, prophecies, word of knowledge, tongues. And there's other things on the list that I've not put in. If you don't plug into God, but you're just living out of yourself, your own abilities are out of what the Bible calls the flesh, then you get things like confusion, deception, being lost, powerless. Do you ever feel powerless? Harboring a grudge, stress. God isn't ever stressed. If you've got stress in your life, then you're not plugged into God, because that isn't in heaven. And it can't come down his wire into your life. And these other things, hatred, depression, turmoil, evil, worry, foolishness, doubt, unforgiveness, bitterness, selfishness, laziness. Things that aren't in heaven, if they're in your life, that's because you're not abiding in God. And the thing about abiding in God is that you have to keep on abiding. It's not a decision that you made 20 years ago when you gave your life to Jesus. And then everything thereafter will go down that road. You know, every moment of every day, every choice you have to make, you can choose, do I go this way or do I go this way? Every decision. So, for example, yeah, and that's the thing, that you don't know that each decision that you make is like a fork in the road, and there aren't signs on the road. I mean, wouldn't it be easy if every time a decision came along, a big sort of sign flashed up like this, you know, God, this, flesh, or self, that. But it isn't like that. So it's more like this. Someone says horrible things about me. Now, if at that moment, suddenly in your mind's eye, this sign flashed up and God this way, but life isn't like that. So things happen all the time. And we have a choice. Someone said horrible things about me. Where do I draw out of that? Do I draw out of my own mind? Do I draw out of what's in heaven? Now, what's in heaven is things like love, joy, forgiveness, peace. You know, someone says, oh, you're an idiot. Well, if that makes you feel bad about yourself and upset and stressed, that isn't coming down the wire from heaven. That's coming from another wire. And so even though you haven't consciously gone like that, what's happened is you've actually stopped abiding in God, because those things that are in heaven aren't flowing into your life at that moment. But instead, things like hatred, turmoil, feeling unkind, feeling bitter, harboring grudges against people, those are flowing into your life. Okay. Something goes terribly wrong. Does that ever happen to you? Yeah. Do you have days where, you know, the tractor breaks, something, you know, the tap leaks and then the pipe bursts and the post comes and you open it and your bank balance is at zero or minus zero, you know, whatever. Someone gets ill. You have an accident, you lose your job. What do you do when something goes horribly wrong? where do you plug into? Do you plug into the possibilities that come from yourself? Or do you plug into all these possibilities from the Lord? It's a choice, isn't it? And so we can choose. We either go for peace, we go for self-control so that we don't let our mind run away with us. We go for faith, believing that God is on the throne. My favorite saying, God is on the throne. This is no surprise to God. He's known about it for a long time, and he's not fallen off the throne. He's still there. And if you believe that and that he loves you, what can possibly go wrong that is of any consequence? Or you can go into the other way. You can feel lost and powerless, helpless. You can get stressed. You can start to doubt. How can God really love me if this has happened? I'm not sure I really believe that God is in control, because look what's happened to my life. So if you plug into that one, then what happens is more and more from that channel starts to flow into your life. And it's a vicious circle, isn't it? It grows in intensity, and doubt breeds hopelessness, which breeds despair, which breeds depression. And you know, the thing seems to grow and get bigger. So we all have days like that. You know, this week or last, that's just gone, Tuesday, was my first day back at work after being off for nearly 2 weeks. And when I'm off for 2 weeks, you know, I get back and I had 164 emails. So I come in, the first thing, my office manager's away, so I, you know, having to do her job as well. And the first thing they say is, you know, one of the Jacobswell vans has broken down and it's in the garage. And they've mended it, but someone needs to go and get it. But there's no one to go and get it. So who's going to go and get the van? And so then I ring around, find someone to go and get it. They get in the second van, go off to get the first van, and the second van breaks down. And so they ring up and, oh, we've broken down. We look in, we've got a policy, you know, breakdown cover. We ring them up. Oh, you're not covered. So that's in the first 10 minutes back at work. And then the church things start coming in. Someone says, oh, did you know that there's no one to do Sunday school on Sunday? And Jill says, oh, well, I'm away. And Jane said, she's away. And, you know, it's like that often, isn't it? There are too many plates, too many things to do. You can't do all of them. What do you do? And I think my staff sometimes get frustrated with me because I sort of walk around like I'm in a dream and just singing and happy. And they go, but you haven't got the message, have you? Yeah, I've got the message. It's just that I'm not going to get into stress and worry, because that doesn't do any good. And there is a solution. God has got a solution for every problem that comes up. But just stay plugged into him and it'll work out. And bit by bit, the week worked out because God is on the throne. So it's a choice. Every point of every day, you get to choose. Now, some people say, well, I don't choose to get stressed. I just am stressed. I don't choose to get depressed. I just wake up depressed. I didn't choose it. It just happens to me. It just comes on me. That's just how I am. Well, there's a fruit of the Spirit called self-control. And I want you to ask yourself the question, who is in control of your life? Who's sitting in the driving seat, you know, with the steering wheel and the controls? Is it you, or is it the circumstances, the things that happen around you? Because if you allow life to dominate your life, it'll end up looking like that. You know, if you let your life be controlled by the things that happen around you, your emotions, your spiritual life, your happiness, your relationships, everything will be like that. Some days you'll be up, some days you'll be down, and you'll never quite know how you'll be, you know, in a week's time. A few years ago, you know, I've got a team in Oslo that I work with quite a lot. And in the early days, one of them came up to me and they said, John, how come you're always smiling? It's like you're always the same. Do you ever have bad days? And I said to them, well, you know, God is always the same. I mean, God doesn't have bad days. So the more you get like him, the more you should be like that. Always the same. And it doesn't matter what circumstances come along. You know, God is always living in that same place of victory, of peace, of love, of joy. God's life isn't like that. And if you let life lead you, your life is going to be like that because bad circumstances will happen. I can guarantee that. What you choose to do with those circumstances is your choice. And King David had terrible things happen to him. As you know, he was driven out of his house by this evil King Saul, and there was an army chasing him, trying to kill him. At that moment in his time, he didn't let his emotions go down. But he stayed plugged in to the power. And this is what he wrote in one of the Psalms, Psalm 57 at that time. He said, awake my soul, because sometimes it's not easy to stay in that place. Sometimes we need to shake ourselves and remind ourselves, God is good. He does love me. Wake up, faith. Wake up, heart. Don't slip down into depression. Wake up. I will praise you. That's a choice. Life looks terrible. My circumstances are awful. My bank account is empty, but I will praise God among the nations. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. When you're under the shadow of God's wings, nothing can happen to you apart from what he allows it. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. David knew that if God was exalted in his life, God would be exalted in his circumstance. If he exalted God above all the nation, then the nation gradually would come under the lordship of the one that he was exalting. God is in control to the degree that you exalt him in your life. The more you exalt God, the more your life is lived on the plane where God is. Others say, well, you know, I gave control of my life to God, so I'm just expecting God to do a better job of living it. But it doesn't work like this with you and God. You know, God with being the one holding the lead. And God doesn't treat you like a dog on a lead. I know a lot of wives would like to have their husband like this, probably. Yeah, some say no and one or two are nodding. Okay. But people think that God controls us like this. You know, that God, we've given control of our life to God, and so he just makes the things happen that happen, and if something bad happens, it's his fault because he's in control, he's got the lead and so on. That's not how God works. He works more like this. He walks through life with you, holding your hand. But at every crossroads you come to, and there's 1,000 every day, he doesn't choose which way you go. You choose. Whichever way you go, he goes with you. Even when you go the wrong way. That's how it is with God. Now, if you learn to stop at every crossroads and ask him, which way should I go? He will tell you. But he won't lead you through the crossroads without you stopping and asking him. You know, he's not like that, just pulling you here and there and forcing you to go this way. He's so humble, so gentle, and he'll be with you, and he respects you. He respects your choice. And it's a daily decision, choosing whether we connect to him or whether we live out of our own flesh. Let's look at it another way. We all know the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha, and we know the difference between the two. Martha was busy. She was stressed. She wanted everything to be perfect. She needed to make a great impression on Jesus, and she was getting upset. Mary, on the other hand, just sat at Jesus' feet and listened to all that he had to say. So the same Jesus came to the same house in the same circumstances. There were two sisters in identical circumstances. One of them abided in Jesus, the other one didn't. Okay, so look at it like this, thinking of Mary and Martha. For most people, those that don't know the Lord, and even a lot that do know the Lord, our minds and our hearts are just filled with the things of everyday life, filled with the things of this world. You know, the work and the relationships and the money and the jobs and what's on telly. And our hearts and our minds are filled with that. That's what fills our hearts and minds. And of course, God, he's in heaven and he's got a great heart. And our hearts don't naturally connect with God. We're in separate worlds. Martha was in her world. Jesus actually came into her house, but she didn't go into his world. Now, what happens is that God, because he loves us, he stretched out his hand. He stretched out his heart. And so he came out from his world into our world. So Jesus actually came into Martha's house. And Jesus became a man. He lived among us. And in your life, Jesus will stretch out his heart. He'll enter into your world. And that's an amazing thing. Isn't that amazing? Jesus enters into your world. Okay. So Jesus stretched out and entered into Martha's world, but she was still locked in her world. Can you see? She's still in her world. She hasn't gone into Jesus' world. You meet a lot of people in life and, you know, you chat to them. Have you ever met those people that when you talk, it's a one-way conversation? Yes. I'm not talking about anyone in this room. But, you know, you go up to them, oh, how are you? How's your life? And, you know, for the next 20 minutes, you get, they've been to the doctors and the doctor said this and this happened and they feel this and they're upset. And you know, you talk for a long time and then at the end, that's it. Thank you. Goodbye. And they go. And you've entered into their world, or you've had it thrust upon you, really. That's how it was with Jesus and Martha. He entered into her world. And he was there watching her, being with her while she cooked and stressed and comforting her, helping her. But Martha hadn't taken one step into Jesus' world. Mary, on the other hand, sat and absorbed everything she could. She reached out. With her heart, she longed to go like that. She wanted to come out of where she was in and to go into where Jesus was. So Jesus will always be with you. But will you be with him? He will always be your friend, but will you ever become his friend? Even out of the 12 disciples, it was said that three of them really were Jesus' closest friends. Why is that? Is it that he loved them more or he likes them more? I don't believe that. I believe it's because those three, you know, they had that hunger in their hearts. That they wanted to understand Jesus. They wanted to help him. They wanted to serve him. They wanted to become one with him. really. And all the others, they loved Jesus and they were with him and they listened to his teaching. But there were three who somehow their heart stretched out and it became one with the heart of Jesus. They abided in him. Do you say abided or abode? Or I don't know what the past of abide in him is. So life is a pilgrimage. So there we are, our little hearts at the start of the road, and there's God far, far in the distance. Okay, and we have to journey from where we are deeper into God. And it's our hunger that determines how close we get. Peter, James and John got further than the other disciples, and John particularly, he was the one that leaned on Jesus' breast. He understood Jesus perhaps more than any of the others. The thing is that people get stuck at the different forks that they come across because, like, you know, the path isn't straight like that with no forks. There's a lot of turnings and twistings and so on. And at every fork, so, you know, 100 times every day and 100 days, lots of choices that we make, we can choose which way we go, this way, that way, with our spare time, when we get up in the morning, when we get up in the morning. Do we go this way? Do we give our time to God? Do we give it to the television, to Facebook, and so on? And what happens is that for many people, they go quite a long way down the road, and then there's one particular fork that comes up that they never get past. You know, some relative or some friend hurt them deeply, and they can never quite find it in their heart to love them as Jesus loved them, or to forgive them. Or something happens and they can never quite find it in their heart to believe that God would do that for them. Or whatever the issue is, you know, to love the homeless, whatever. Different issues, or to spend more time with God, to fast. Lots of different issues. We all go so far down the road. And the trouble is that for many people, they get stuck. And they're content to live in that place because they're a lot nearer to God than they used to be. In fact, they're quite near to God. And they've left behind all of that. But they don't have that ruthless determination in their heart to keep on pressing on. Like Paul said, I press on. You know, at the end of his life, Paul was still trying to go forwards. And he was going, I'm not going to let anything keep me from Jesus. I'm not going to let any fear stop me. There was one time in my life when I was a young evangelist, I wanted to overcome fear. And I wrote down a list of all the things that I thought I was afraid of. I think there were 5 or 6 things. And then one by one, I thought, right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And I did all the things on my list. Just because I wanted to move on. And I didn't want to be stuck. You could do that with love. You know, are there any people that you struggle to love? Well, go and embrace them. Go and spend time with them. Give to them. Help them. And as you overcome these forks, people, you know, say, oh, I could never fast. I could never fast for 3 days. I could never pray for 2 hours. We get stuck and we say, well, this is how I am. You don't need to stay like that. You can change and become more like God. So I've run out of time, really. There we are. We need our hearts to grow. Just 4 things in a sentence to help you get better at abiding with the Lord. Feed on the Word. The Word is like those signs. Do you remember the fork in the road with no signs? The more you have the Word inside you, the more at every decision of life, the word will jump into your mind and will tell you what to do. We need to pig out on the word. We need to eat it and read it and meditate on it and live in it. Let the word live in you richly. Paul said, let the word of Christ abide in you. We need to listen to the Lord. Be like Mary. Mary soaked up the essence of who Jesus was. Just hanging out in his presence, looking into his eyes, listening to his words, just trying to, you know, soak up who he was and reach out so that everything in him comes into her. That is something we need to do in your quiet time. Don't just talk. Don't just read. Also listen. Spend time worshipping. Worshipping changes your life at least as much as reading the Word of God does. And again, we need to spend time worshipping the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, it's as we gaze on the Lord's glory that we're transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another. So reading the word transforms your mind. Worship transforms your heart and your spirit. Obedience is the fourth thing, ruthless obedience. Obedience transforms your soul. That changes who you are and what you do. And we need to be those people that just make a decision, whatever God wants me to do, I will do it, even if I don't want to do it, even if I don't think I can do it, even if it'll cost me a lot. Ruthless obedience. And as we embrace those four things, you'll go further and further and further down that road, and the more beautiful it will become. We're led from glory to glory to glory, you know, the further down the road, the more your life becomes filled with all those things that we thought in the first place, love and joy and peace, patience, happiness. Your life is just filled with that when you abide with God. And the other things like the worry and the stress and the fear and the anxiety, they become memories really, because you know, you're constantly drawing out of that other place and your life is constantly filled with that. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the possibility that we can share in your life. Thank you that you want it to be on earth as it is in heaven. You want our life to be like your life, a life of joy and peace and power. And we just pray that you would teach us every day to live like that. Help us in the small decisions of life and in the big decisions of life. Teach us to hear your voice. Teach us to know what you would choose given those two choices. Give us the courage to choose what you would choose and to live as you would live. In Jesus' name, amen.